He promised us that he would be a counselor, a mighty God and the Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be your father, that he would love us with a love that would not cease. Well, I tried him and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know could not begin to tell just how much Jesus really means to me. For he Jesus is to me. I stand amazed to think the King of glory would come to live within the heart of man. I marvel just to know he really loves me. Jesus is to me. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more, more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous. Jesus is to me.
Man, thank you, Heather. You know, our world is consumed with greatness. You know, great. We have seminars on how to be great. We have books written on being great and how great, you know, you can become. There are conferences that people go to on how to become great. Maybe like you, I've been around a lot of great things. I've seen a lot of great accomplishments that man has had. I've seen some pretty athletic greatness in my exposure to athletics. I've seen the buildings where people have built that have been great. I've seen the great architectural structures in Europe in my travels. I've seen a lot of those things. I've heard some great masterpieces played on instruments. Of professions, you know, of people who are very good at music. I've even seen in my short lifespan I've seen people who have accomplished things that people said would never be accomplished. I've met millionaires and people who have accomplished things from nothing to something. But you know, it's a strange thing that with greatness, have you ever thought of it this way? Greatness is always in the eyes of the person who uses the term great. It's different. It's different depending on who that person is, on what we would call great. My daughter this past week was telling us about someone who, because of her exposure to the fashion world, her being involved in cosmetology, was telling us about this lady. And she gave us the name of this lady. Never heard of her. I don't even remember her name. But you know, Chelsea said, man, she is great. I mean, you know, she's really great. And, you know, sometimes we hear that word great, but the question really comes in, what do we mean by greatness? I mean, how do we define that term? When you talk about greatness, what do you mean by greatness? Well, you know, there's some definitions on greatness. It means distinguished or eminent. Obviously, in the performance of someone when they are maybe doing their job or when they are doing their athletic competition or something like that, we think of it as being great. Is it wrong then to be great? Is it wrong to aspire to be great? I think within all of us, there's that maybe that drive, that determination that we all want to be connected with something greater than ourselves. We want to be involved with something better or greater than ourselves. And then people ask, is it wrong for me to want to be great, to want to achieve something in this world, to want to go beyond that? Because I think greatness gives us a feeling of acceptance, a feeling of importance, a feeling of that, you know, that I have a purpose, that I've done something in my life. Maybe you're here today, you're looking for greatness or significance, if you would. You're looking for something that when you start a new year, as we'll be starting a new year, you're looking for something that would be great, a purpose for you. Maybe something that would give you sort of a meaning. You know, it's a strange thing, but Americans are driven with the success mentality. You know, we want to be successful, and we try to be successful in our jobs or maybe in our studies or maybe in a hobby. And the strange thing is that when we want to be successful, what we do is we want to one-up somebody else. We compete to one-up somebody, and if we can somehow or another be better than this person or better than that person or do this or do that better than somebody else, then that makes us feel like that we are greater or we are better. And really for us as believers, that ought not to be. That ought not to be. In fact, the Bible makes some very clear statements about that. There's a verse that says, "And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest." So the warning here in Scripture is that I'm not to seek greatness for myself. In other words, I'm not to try to make myself look great. I'm not to somehow or another in other words, in my life, if I fail to meet my standard of greatness for myself, then I'm really not a failure. Because that's not what should be my goal. That shouldn't be my driving purpose. That does not mean that we're not to improve and be a better person and maybe a better father, a better wife, or a better husband, or a better mother, or a better leader. That's not to say that we're not to do that, but that's not our life's purpose. We're not to seek greatness for ourselves. And this warning has to be issued because so many people think that that's what we're to do. We're to be great. We're to be great at this. We're to be great at that. And so it's all about our performance. We learn in the Bible that Job was a man that had to learn this lesson. I really believe that when we read the life of Job, we learn some very powerful lessons. Let me call your attention to this verse here in Job chapter 1 in verse 3. Here's what it says. It says, his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household. So this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. In other words, you would say for Job's life that Job was the wealthiest man who had lived up to his point in life. I mean, he's the greatest man of the East. In other words, for him, if you were to look at him, he was a man that had it. I mean, he had everything that you could possibly want. He had it all. And I met some people who are like that. I met some Christians who are trying to be like that. That's what they want. That's their pursuit in life. Their pursuit in life is to get everything they can. They want everything because, in a sense, I think they're kind of like trying to follow that the American dream, and they buy into that idea that if I can just have the great things of life, that's what gives me significance. That's what gives me really a sense of fulfillment, a sense of, if you would, that comfort. But let me remind you of something here in the Scriptures, that God shows us something much different. That greatness is not in the material things that you and I possess. That greatness is not in the position that we hold in our company. That greatness is not in the quality of the things that you own, or what you're able to do with your life, or your hobby, or the things that you have. That is not where greatness lies. That is not where we are to seek greatness. In other words, what God is saying is you and I need to be gripped by the greatness of Almighty God. That really the truth of the matter is, what God wants us to understand today is that, and that's the drum I've been trying to beat all year long, is for us to realize that God is great. And that he's greater than anything that you will ever do, or you will ever own, or you will ever have, or you will ever accomplish in life. God is greater. He's greater than all those things. You see, but our pride wants us to find significance in our accomplishments. In other words, I want somehow or another to realize that if I can, achieve something in this world, and some people, you know, I had one guy tell me this one time. He said to me, he said, my life's goal is to have a building named after me. Well, first of all, let me just say this. To have a building named after you, that means you have to be dead. So why would you want a building named after you? Does that really give you significance? I mean, I've met some people who have streets named after them. I've met people who have had colleges named after them. Does that give us significance? Now, our pride wants us to do that, but God wants us to find our significance in our relationship with him. That's where our significance is. That, to be honest with you, when it gets down to it, when the bottom line, when it all said and done, God wants us to see that our value is in the greatness of God. In fact, let me say it this way, that God is the highest greatness. He is the highest. There is none greater. There is nothing greater. There's nothing you can do that's greater. I mean, he's everything. Now, when we go to the book of Job, can I take you on this journey to chapter 33? What God is showing us in this book for us today, that we learn through the life of Job, that Job needed to learn, and so did his friends, how big God is. I draw your attention to verse number 10. We're going to read these verses, and then we'll go back and kind of get an overview of the chapter and understand what's going on here. Look at verse number 10. Job 33 and verse number 10. Behold, he findeth occasions against me. He counteth me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in stocks. He marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. How many of you would have to agree that that statement is very profound? God is greater than man. Look at verse number 11. The Bible said that he putteth my feet in stocks, he marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not occasion of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. So what we need to understand is that God had to teach Job and his friends that he's greater. That he is far greater than anything that we possess, far greater than anything that we have, far greater than anything that we could ever accomplish in life. God is greater. That's the significant passage here. That's the verse. That's the target place. Here's the story. Job was, of course, a wealthy man. Most of you know the story, but you know that his friends came along and began to debate with Job about whether or not he was really right with God. They were carrying on this conversation with him, and Job would answer, and they would respond back. And Elihu, in these verses here, was one of his friends who I think that considered himself equal with Job. He thought of himself as being, you know, maybe on a level of Job or maybe even higher. And so here he was instructing Job. You see, he did not know of chapter 1 in Job that we read about, how that God went to Satan and suggested that Job be tested to prove what kind of a Christian he really was. He didn't understand that. He didn't know anything about those kind of things. He didn't understand about commitment. He didn't understand any of that kind of stuff. He didn't know that, but he thought that he knew. And so what he did was he brings to Job, he says, perhaps the reason why, Job, that these things are happening to you is not because God's punishing you, but God is bringing suffering to prevent you from going into sin. And Job was responding back to him and saying, look, you know, this is not what this is about. You know, the fact is that God is just greater than man. And what he wants us to understand is this. He wants us to understand that all of us need to recognize that no matter what, how much we have or how little we have or what position we hold in this life, that God is still greater. Amen. He's still greater. Interesting, God took everything away from Job that he had. All of his accomplishments were gone. All the sheep, all of the animals that he had, all of the things he had, even his looks. Because when I read the story, I read about how he had boils all over him, you know, and he sat in ashes and scraped the boils. I mean, you know, he must have been a pretty ugly mess. So now his dignity is gone, his looks are gone, and all of the things that in our world today we value and place so highly up to say that makes us great, God says those things are very, very insignificant. In other words, the things that it seems as though our world seeks after to say that that brings them greatness, they don't understand that that's not where greatness lies. And God is taking this away from Job, and God takes it away and places it aside and says, here's what I want you to understand, that there are times that when you have things get in the way of your relationship with me. And I must tell you that when your things get in the way of your relationship with God, that you have messed up your life. When you are letting things get in the way of your relationship to God. Now, let me touch on something, and I want to be very frank and very honest with you. Many people today, many Christians today, are allowing their jobs to get in the way of their relationship with God. They're allowing their possessions to get in the way. You know, it always bothers me when I see Christians sometimes when they get their big toys and those toys take them away from God. They've allowed their things to get in the way of their relationship to God. When a person gets things and takes those things and pays on those things and stop paying their tithes to God, they're letting those things get in the way of their relationship to God. The bottom line is this: when things get in the way, God has a way of taking those things away. Sometimes we are pursuing our way, we are doing our own thing so that we can, if you would, so that we can be great. And the trick of the devil is to get us to think that greatness is not found in God, but is found in us. in what we accomplish, in what we do in this world, in what we have done. And what God wants us to understand is that God is the highest greatness. No doubt about it, He is the highest greatness. In fact, I see it this way in Scripture, that He is the essence of greatness. We learned that all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. And here's what Genesis 1 and verse 1 says. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The word there for God is the word Elohim. Let me teach you a little Hebrew lesson, because this is, you know, I took 2 years of Hebrew, and I sweat myself to death over Hebrews and learning that, all that Hebrew language, and I forgot it all, but just a couple things. Let me give you one of them, all right? Here it is. Here's what it is. Ready? When you put Elohim at the end of the word, the I am, im, is a plural. Okay? In the original, when you go back and you look in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God, it's the word Elohim. Elohim points to what we call the plural of majesty, supremacy. In other words, if you were to say, who is the supreme, what is the most supreme part of God, it is Himself as His position. He is before all things, the Bible says. God is supreme in everything. God is magnificent in everything. God is so far above everything. And so the idea then of the Elohim means that that's how powerful He is. This word here, Yahweh, goes to the fact that this means that you and I can have a relationship to this God. That if you were to find someone who would be powerful in our world, or who would have maybe a position in our world, or someone who might, you know, might be considered great in man's eyes, you probably couldn't have access to him. But here's what God says. God says, I'm so far above all of those things that you value in life, but yet I will be as close to you as a prayer. Aren't you glad of that today? Aren't you glad that that's how big God is? And so when we look at our lives then, what God is teaching us, He reveals in His name that He is a God that genuinely cares about you and about me. He's concerned about us. He's concerned about what's going on in our families and what's going on in our individual lives and what's going on in our jobs and what's going on at work and what's going to happen in 2015. He's a God that's there for us and cares for us and wants us to realize that no matter what comes in your life, no matter how difficult it might be, that God is still great. And though you may feel like a failure, God has not failed. And that God is always there, and that God is there to take you through those things. And what God is teaching Job about greatness is the fact that God is greater than things. You see, really, the Bible makes it very clear that you realize that Job was concerned that he might lose his things. In Job chapter 3 and verse 25, the Bible said, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." His friends needed to see the greatness of God as well, but they needed to see it through the life of Job because of Job's influence over their lives. But something I find most interesting is the way God proves His greatness to us, the way God shows His greatness to us, is that He will protect us from, or withdraw us from our purposes in life and point us to Him. And that's what God wants us to realize. If you go down to verse 17, look at it with me, please. Job 33, 17. "That He may withdraw man from his purpose and hide man and hide pride from man." The Bible said that God will withdraw me back, that God will step in the middle of my life and draw me back and help me to realize, man, I need to look to Him. Because the truth of the matter is, it is God that saves me, not me. You see, what I need is, I just need transformation in my life, and the only way that can happen is through the work of Jesus Christ. I'm glad 2,000 years ago He did come to earth. I'm glad 2,000 years ago he did die for my sins. I'm glad that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. And here's what God says. God says the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that will give you and I transformation through Jesus. You can be forgiven. I can be forgiven because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. God secures our salvation. In fact, in verse number 18, I call your attention, the Bible said he keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Hey, thank God that Jesus Christ says he's going to protect me for all of eternity. It's all secure in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I must tell you that if God can secure me and God can hold me and God that can protect me for all eternity, he certainly can take care of my life right now. And I don't know what I'm going to be facing in 2015, and neither do you. None of us know. We don't know what we might face. We don't know the hardships and the difficulties that we might go through or the victories that we might go through. But whether it's victorious or whether it's defeating, it doesn't matter. We still have a God that's there with us every step of the way. And I'm going to tell you this. We need to. It's time that we go from trying to make ourselves great to making God great. Job had to learn that lesson. Job had to understand that. Because you see, the truth of the matter is, God is great because he conquered sin. He conquered life. He conquered death for us. And here's my question today. Do you know him as your personal Savior? Do you have him as your personal Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you realize that you can't go to heaven because you're a good person or because you've been confirmed or because you take First Communion? Do you know for sure that you have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior? Look, I can't think of a better time of the year than starting off a new year with Jesus Christ, having him as your Savior and as your Lord. He is the essence of greatness. And then, Christian, how about you today? Are you finding yourself competing with everybody else and competing with this just to try to get some significance in your life? When do you realize that your significance is not in your accomplishment? Your significance is in Jesus Christ. He did it for you. He just wants to be your Savior. He wants you to realize the essence of greatness is in God himself. And we need to stop trying to make ourselves great and start making Jesus Christ great in this world. John 3 verse 30, John says this, said he must increase, but I must what? Decrease. In other words, I want to increase him. I want his influence in my life. I want him to matter in my life. I want him to be important, not me. God needs to be important, not me. And so this year, I have preached a series of messages on he is greater. His greatness. And I haven't even touched the surface. I didn't even begin to communicate it. In fact, here's something I found. He becomes greater the closer I get to him. The closer I get to him, the greater God becomes in my life. The further I get from God, the less great he becomes. In other words, when I kind of push back, here's what happens. I start thinking of either myself as great or maybe something else I hear is great. And I really miss out on what the essence of greatness is in my life. You know, the truth of the matter is, when we make a decision to seek God daily, and the closer we get to God and the more vibrant our walk with God becomes, and the more intimate our lives are entwined with God, God's greatness begins to magnify in my life. And what happens is, instead of me living my life without God, or living my life as if there is no God, or living my life as though I got to go to God, now what I do is I live my life as if everything around my whole life is around God. You see, a new year gives us a chance to get a restart. We kind of re-push the button again. It's time to start over. You know, we have 365 days in a new year, I guess. I don't think it's leap year this year. We start new. Everything is new. Our Bible reading can be new. Our prayer life can be new. Our relationship to God can be kind of rebooted, if you would. Restarted. A new year enables us that opportunity. And here's my question. What are you going to do with it? What's going to be great in your life? What is it that's going to really matter? Is it going to be another year of you're trying to be significant? Of you're trying to be great? Of you're trying to, you know, kind of compete with somebody else or do it yourself? Or is it going to wind up being that which you're focused on God Himself? You see, God wants us to realize He is the ultimate in greatness. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. He's all powerful. He's the awesome God. He's the majestic God. He's all that there is and all that can be. And here's my challenge for you for a new year. And here's my question for you today. Will you make Him great in your life? You see, as we seek Him, as we seek Him daily, we'll begin to recognize His greatness. Here's what I believe. I believe a lot of Christians like to start off the new year with something like this. Well, you know, Pastor, I agree with you that you know, that I need to read my Bible and I want to spend some time with God. But, you know, we try to do it mechanically. So we have this kind of this thing, okay, I'm going to read my Bible and do this and do that, and I'm all for it. But I must tell you that it's not just reading our Bible, it's developing a vibrant relationship with Him. It's letting Him talk to you and you talk to Him in your prayer life. It's that you develop that relationship and that you meditate on what God is speaking to your heart about and that you think on those things. And that no matter what goes on around you, that you just know that God is greater than those things. Don't get me wrong. I think we need to be aware of what's going around us. But one of the things we don't want to forget is God is still greater. The takeaway I want you to have today when you leave is this, that God is the highest greatness. He's the highest greatness. And when you maybe walk in the presence of someone who in your company is great, or maybe someone who you look to, maybe a sports hero or someone like that, or somebody that you might consider great in your life, or someone that you might look to and say, man, now they're really great at what they do, keep in mind that you know the essence of greatness when you know Jesus Christ. And He walks with you every day. Get to know Him. Get to realize His greatness. When we do, now the decisions that I make every day is always going to be, what does He think? The things that I decide about my life, it's what does God want me to do? How I rear my children, what does God want me to do? How does God want me to handle this? The things that happen in my life, it's what does God say about that? That's what matters the most. That's what's significant for me. That's what's powerfully true in my life, that I want Him in everything I do. I don't want to just go to God, but I want God to walk with me. I want to invite Him in the center of my life. In other words, He is the center of my life and everything else revolves around what God wants. And so often, that's not the case with many Christians. But today, let's start today and say, God, this is what I want. Lord, I want You to show me Your greatness. If you're sitting here today and say, you know, I have a lot of doubts about God's ability, then you need to get close to Him to realize how powerful He really is. Because what a difference He can make. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, today as I think of the greatness that You tell us about in the Scriptures, about how Job even said that God is greater than man, and while that seems so clear and so unquestionable, Lord, the truth of the matter is there's a lot of us. Lord, if we were to be honest, deep in the recesses of our heart, Lord, we would have to say that we're not seeking you daily. And so the greatness of God is not as real in our life as it would be in Job's life. So Lord, today there might be someone here who's never met Jesus Christ as Savior. Often we have people who will think that they can get to heaven their own way, and because maybe they think they can be greater than Jesus by getting to heaven their own way. Impossible. Lord, there's some Christians that sometimes I think, I want to do this, I want to do that. And while that's awesome that people have a desire to want to improve and be better, Lord, the bottom line is that you're it. You're everything. So, Lord, today I pray that we'll capture the greatness of God. That we'll draw closer to you. That we'll make a decision today, right now, in the moments before this service ends, that we will make God the center point of our life. That he will be our North Star. That he'll be our focus. That the decisions that we make will be what God wants us to make. Lord, speak to us in the moments that we have together. Lord, I'm speaking to some families. Lord, some families are falling apart because they've not sought the greatness of God to come into their home. There's some lives that are just really on edge because they've worried too much about what they can do rather than what God can do. There might be a teenager today that, Lord, is trying to find significance and purpose. And so they're following after what the world says. Lord, help them to realize they need to follow after the Lord Jesus. Father, help us to make you great and decrease ourselves. We pray that as we give this invitation, you'd speak to us now in the moments we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand on our feet very quietly. Maybe God's speaking to your heart. I invite you to come right now. What is it that God would want you to do? How about starting a new year? Just make a decision right now. I'm going to make this new year a time of a vibrant, growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today, you don't know Christ. We'd be more than happy to open the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that when you die, you're going to heaven. That you can know this same great God that we know. Are you looking for significance? Are you looking for purpose? The Bible said it's found in Jesus Christ. He is the highest greatness. He is the ultimate, the essence of all there is. And you can know him today. You can walk with him today. What a privilege. What an honor to know him. How well do you know him today?
Great. You may be seated just for a moment before our ushers come. For the offering, just a few brief announcements I'd like to cover. And this morning, first of all, this coming Wednesday night, there will be no connection groups and no Bible study here in the auditorium. So this will be just a great time where you can spend some time with your family. We encourage you to invite some people over and just show the love of Christ to them this coming Wednesday. I know New Year's Eve, a lot of people do a lot of different things. This will be just a great opportunity to maybe invite some people over and try to connect with some people and build a relationship that can be a platform to bring them to Christ. I know coming up this coming January the 18th, we have our annual Friend Day that we're having. And Friend Day is a great time to invite people to church. People are more open than any other time if they're in transition, if they're in trouble, or if they're in turmoil. So if you know some people that are in transition, in trouble, or in turmoil in their life, and you probably do because we all do, they are more open than any other time in their lives to coming to church and hearing about Christ. So January 18th is going to be our friend day, and we're not going to have any connection classes on that day. We're actually going to have a brunch during the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to have some jump houses for the kids and a lot of different things. We'll give you some more information coming up in the weeks to come, but mark that down, January 18th. That's going to be a great day to invite a friend to that. And then also January 11th, we'll have a guest speaker here. Mark Rasmussen down from Southern California will be coming up and speaking to us. Also, one other thing, Bible reading certificates are in the Welcome Center for 2015. As our ushers come forward,